والجنة.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. Dear listeners to IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I welcome you all to this episode of The Gate of Knowledge, where we are discussing about the topic of prophethood based on the teachings of Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha. And it is a great opportunity for us to focus on a very important topic, and that is the topic of prophethood, and try to think about the ideas that Imam Ali alayhi salam is bringing forth and in the direction in which he wants us to think. And amongst that is the fact that in the first sermon of Nahjul Balagha, he mentions about certain things that are the duties of the messengers and the responsibilities of the messengers. It is something that really, if you are to focus on well, we would realize the wealth of knowledge and the wealth of experience that we could gain from him, so that we can, you know, kind of tune our lives towards the direction that the messengers wanted us to kind of reach. Amongst those duties of the messengers is what Imam Ali alayhi salam says, وَيُرُوهُمْ آيَاتِ الْمَقْدِرَةِ, that the prophets and messengers, they show to the people the signs of God's power.
You're listening to the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio, a program that presents a detailed commentary of Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him.
Now, the messengers and the prophets, their duty is to show people the signs of God's power. And of course, God's power is manifested in everything. An example that Imam Ali alayhi salam gives, he says, مِن سَقْفٍ فَوْقَهُمْ مَرْفُوءٍ, if they pay attention to the roof on top of them that has been raised, referring to the skies and whatever there is inside. You see, many times because of human beings not getting that push, not receiving that push to kind of focus on a certain aspect of creation, when they don't get that push, they kind of are lazy and they do not really focus on that particular aspect. Let me give you an example. You know, how many times have you walked through a certain garden or a park and seen, you know, leaves falling? Many of us have seen that. And many people before us have seen those things happening. They've seen fruits falling from the trees. They've seen a tree, then they see suddenly fruit falling from up the tree. And people, even before that, before the time of, let's say, Isaac Newton, they saw this happening. But few people realize that there is a force. There is a force that is making this happen. There is some force that is there between entities. People didn't realize that. They took it for granted. But Newton, he asked that question, that why didn't the apple fly above? Why did it fall down? Why didn't it, let's say, go to another direction? Why did it have to come down? And these types of questions are what opened up the idea that there is a force called the gravitational force. You see? if this was not there, if Newton had not thought in other directions, then it wouldn't be possible for us today to have such a discovery.
IRIB English Radio presents a detailed commentary of the Peak of Eloquence from the Master of the Faithful, Imam Ali, peace be upon him, on the program Gate of Knowledge.
Now, we therefore realize that the way human beings think is very important. They need to be directed in a certain way sometimes. They need to be reminded to think in a certain direction. The reason is that majority of the people, they engage with life in a very trivial manner. You see, it's about eating food and drinking and having fun and, pleasures of life, these apparent pleasures of life and apparent interactions that are there in life, earning money, glamour. Normally people, unfortunately, they are like this. It's very rare to find a person who would spend time in their life, in their day-to-day affairs, to sit down and think for a few moments and open their hearts and open their minds to think about issues, to contemplate and ponder. And you notice those who have this attitude and this kind of habit to think and to ponder about certain intricate realities and, slightly being out of their comfort zones to think about things, you'll see these are the ones that are successful. And it is not something that they need to really spend so much time and effort in. It's just a matter of, dedication and planning that would make them achieve very great heights. What we're trying to say now is that we as human beings, if we were to focus on certain aspects of life, we would see the hand of God in these creations, in these things. Just like Isaac Newton, when he saw that apple falling, many people had seen, but when he saw the apple falling, he asked the question, why? And he was looking for something deeper. And that's how he came to the idea of the gravitational force. That today, if you just think about it, like how important is this force? I mean, today when we want to even fly a small thing like a plane or something, we need to really calculate how much force, how much gravitational force, how much weight, how much everything. And then if you want to, for example, fly a rocket, that would make it even more complicated. So this force, you see how much discovering this force was important. And that means that if you are to take a step further, there are other things that we can discover. And this is something, and I'm not just saying in the material sense, but also in the spiritual sense, in terms of realization. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us the opportunity to ponder in the issues of God's creation of the universe. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mukhtar, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom, on the program Gate of Knowledge on IRIB English Radio. قال النبي محمد من كنت مولاه هذا علي سيد فاز من ولاه هو بالكتاب مسدد والنور معناه باب العلوم ومرشد هو آيات الله من ناداه أو لبه حين دعاه نال مناه هو في الشدائد منجد والفضل يمناه هو في المحاسن أحمد والوحي رباه.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Sheikh Baqir Sharif Al-Qarashi decides to compile.
So we can consider Sayyid Hadi Khosrow Shahi.
Shahid Muhammad Baqir Al-Sadr.
He was born in Qadhimiyya.
The first and the most important thing that we can learn from Allama Tabatabai is his great effort.
In this regard, I should like to say that one of the great benefits of the late Ayatollah Sayyid Mahmud Shahruddin was.
When we look at the works of late Rawzati, we see.
There is a famous sentence from Mirza Khalil Qamarani that he says in Farsi, Tuhid kalame baraye kalame tuhid.
Be more familiar with outstanding Shia figures in the teacher.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program The Teacher, an introduction into the life and works of the most outstanding Muslim Shiite dignitaries and fuqaha during the history of Islam. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, I have two very special guest speakers, Sheikh Fadai and Sheikh Rouhani. Sheikh Rouhani, assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And Sheikh Fadai, assalamu alaikum to you.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi.
For today's discussion, we want to talk about Abdul Hussein Tehrani, mainly known as Sheikhul Araghain, one of the most outstanding fuqaha of the 13th century Hijra. His struggles against Babiyat and Baha'iyat in Iraq was famous. His struggles for rebuilding the holy shrines of the infallible Imams in Iraq was also famous. Let's be more familiar with the early life of Sheikhul Araghain or Abdul Hussein Tehrani. Sheikh Rouhani, let's start with you, brother.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sheikh Abdul Hussein Tehrani, known as Sheikhul Araghain. By Araghain means Iran and Iraq, because at that time these two part of the Islamic world were called Araghain, yeah?
Yes.
So that's why he's called, actually he was Sheikhul Iraq and Sheikhul Iran, we can say at that time.
Okay.
So he was born in 1222 and he died in 1286 in the holy shrine of Imam al-Jawad in Qadhimiyya. Actually, he died in the Qadhimiyya and was buried in Imam Hussein's holy shrine. So about the scholarly life of Sheikh al-Araghain, we can say that he learned primary Islamic lessons in Iraq, and then he joined the classes or the classes of actually Sheikh Hassan al-Kashif al-Ghita, the son of Ja'far al-Kashif al-Ghita, who is very well-known scholar in the history of the Shia, particularly in the 13th century. So, and also he attended some of the lessons of Muhammad Hassan al-Najafi, and he was one of the students of Sahib Jawahir. These great scholars that we name,
yes,
each one of them are the one of the greatest scholars of Shia in the last centuries. And then actually Sheikh al-Araghain, then he came back to Tehran. Actually, he was there after getting his ijtihad from Najaf al-Ashraf. And then, of course, then he became one of the great and very influential figure in Iran at that time, as he was known as one of the Maraji,
yes,
of Iran at that time, at the time of Qajari kings Nasiruddin,
yes,
Shah.
That's right.
And yes, he had lots of, let's say, social and cultural,
yes,
activities.
He was a source of benefit, truly,
yes,
a source of benefit. Building schools, building seminaries, finding the grave of Mukhtar, you know, up until his time in Masjid al-Kufa. The exact place of the burial place of Mukhtar al-Saqafi was not known. But in a search and in a consultation with the son of Sayyid Bahrul Ulum, Sharif al-Reza, he could find it, you know. And all in all, his life was really fruitful. Let's talk a little bit about this aspect of his life, Sheikh Fadai, about the socio-cultural and socio-political life of Sheikh al-Araghain.
One of the interesting points in his life is that he had a good relationship with Iran and Iraq, these two nations.
Yes.
And not just the nation and people, but good relationship with the authorities, mm-hmm, of two nations. We can learn from this path of living his life that a real scholar is not the one who just learn and teach, because we believe that Islamic scholars are the preachers of Islam. Yes. And Islam is a social-political religion.
Yes.
So we should be in contact with people.
Mm-hmm.
If I, as a scholar, stay in my home and just learn the knowledge and teach it to other people without any relationship with people, so how can I guide this nation? How can I lead them to the correct path? With this good relationship, he could do a lot in his society. Because of that, he was known as Sheikh al-Araqain. If he hadn't this relationship with people and authorities, he couldn't have the power to do that, to affect people.
Yes.
And as we know, he opposed Babi and Baha'i.
Yes, yes, yes. These two important deviated groups.
Yes. Yes. You know, at that time...
And what was them? I mean, what was Babi and what was Baha'i?
You know, at the beginning, there was a sect called Shaykhiyah.
Yes.
In that sect, they believed that after Imam Zaman, after Imam Mahdi, we should have someone instead of him,
okay,
who is the means of faith and blessing by God. Of course, we believe in Naib Imam Zaman, Naib al-Khas, and Naib al-Khas,
yes, yes.
But not as they say.
Okay.
They believe that this one is someone like Imam.
Mm-hmm. So it is a Bab, it is a gate or door. Okay, that's right.
After the main sheikh of that Shaykhiyah sect was dead,
yes,
someone called Muhammad Ali Muhammad Shirazi,
uh-huh,
he claimed that I am that Bab.
Uh-huh.
I am the gate of Imam Zaman.
Okay.
If you want to get the blessing of God, you should
refer to me.
Through me. You should,
yes,
refer through me. At the beginning, he claimed that I'm the Bab, I'm the gate. After a while, he claimed that I'm the prophet,
oh,
a new prophet, and Islam is done, is expired. I have a new religion.
Yes.
And then after a while, he claimed that I'm God himself. So this is the fake Irfan that we talked about in some other programs. So at the time of Sheikh al-Araqain, they had a lot of activities. And they want to get close to the authorities of Iran and Iraq. And Sheikh Abdul Hussein Tehrani, he used his power and he stopped them. He prevented this relationship. Because if they were successful to make this connection between Babi sect and the social and political authorities, they could take over these countries' belief. He used his power and prevent this connection. That was a great step to lead the society. You know, leading is not just something positive that you should do something.
Okay.
Sometimes you should prevent some problems and mistakes. So this is Babi. And after that, Baha'i sect was created by Mirza Hussein Ali Nuri.
Yes, yes.
They were
Baha'u'llah, they say.
Yeah, they call him Baha.
Yes, yes.
Yes, and they were derived from Babi sect.
Yes.
And again, first he claimed that I'm the Bab of Imam Zaman,
yes,
and then Prophet, and then God, the same way that Ali Muhammad Shirazi.
So Sheikh al-Araqain confronted all of them.
Confronted all of them and prevented them to be in power.
Yes.
Okay. Unless they could take the power in Iran and Iraq. Not just social power, maybe political power.
Yes, yes, yes.
When, and if you know, if our audience know, now their centers, both of them, Babi and Baha'i, is in Israel.
Yes, yes.
In the city of Akka and city of Haifa, if I'm not wrong.
Yes,
Haifa and Akka.
Yes.
So it means that they had planned for Islam in order to ruin Islam. So this is great scholar knew that and stop that.
That's all right.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah.
And this is truly the role that a Muslim scholar, a Shia Dua, must play in a society in order to defend the Islamic lands. Okay, Shaykh Rouhani, what about you? What about any more explanation about his struggles against deviation inside Muslim lands in Iran and Iraq?
Yes, one of the interesting points that could be added here is this, that if you want to know that how much important was the role of Abdul Hussein Tehrani against Baha'ism,
yes,
or Baha'i people, we have to look at their works, I mean Baha'i's books,
okay,
and Baha'i's works.
Very good.
As it is mentioned in their works, they actually spread a kind of hatred literature against him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, lots of, let's say, bad things are written
about bad words
yeah, against him.
Okay.
It shows that how much important
how influential he was.
As he was very much a smart, very clever alim and a scholar, that mm-hmm. he prevented the king from visiting this one of the leaders of these Baha'is. Because, of course, it would give the Baha'is a good opportunity to spread their teachings. But, of course, this role that he played was really significant. And also, if we look at some of the works written by some of the Baha'is, they used bad words that they used against him.
Okay.
So it shows that he played his
because
role very significantly.
Because he destroyed them. I mean,
yeah,
he demolished
course,
the whole lineage of the
course.
Baha'is and Babis.
Yeah.
Over there, by the help of Amir Kabir, of course.
Yes.
We can say the on that time, somehow the first deputy of the Shah, Amir Kabir, was also against Baha'ism and Babism course, very much
yes.
on
yeah.
that time. That's all right. Okay, it was very kind of you. As we said, Sheikh Al-Araghain was really active and source of benefit for building the schools. The rebuilding of the holy shrines of in Atabata Aliyat in Iraq was another outstanding struggle of Abdul Hussein Tehrani, mainly known as Sheikh Al-Araghain. About his demise, it is mentioned that it was Ramadan 22nd, 2086, according to the Hijri calendar. He passed away in the city of Al-Kadhimiyah, but his body was taken into the holy shrine of Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam, Sultaniyah Gate, and he was buried over there. This was the life account of Abdul Hussein Tehrani, mainly known as Sheikh Al-Araghain. We said that he was called Sheikh Al-Araghain because he was on that time, Iran and Iraq were called the Iraq of Ajam and Arab, okay? Two Iraqs, so he was called Sheikh Al-Araghain. He was a source of benefit and a blessing for both countries on that time. Thank you very much, Sheikh Fadai.
You're welcome.
And Sheikh Rouhani for a nice elaboration. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program, The Teacher. For more information on this program and to download for free our previous episodes of the program, The Teacher, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. The another episode. God bless you all. Fiamma.
We once had a teacher, the teacher of teachers. He changed the world for the better and made us better creatures. Oh Allah, we've shamed ourselves, we've strayed from Al-Mu'allim. Surely we've wronged ourselves, what will we say in front of it? Ya Mu'allim, peace be upon you, truly you are our teacher. Mu'allim, teacher of all mankind. To be just and kind, and to feed the poor and hungry. help the wayfarer and the orphan child, and to not be cruel and miserly. His speech was soft and gentle, like a mother stroking her child.
In the limelight.
U.S. House of Representatives Marjorie Taylor Greene intends to initiate an impeachment procedure against President Joe Biden for failure to fulfill his duties and failure to ensure protection of America's southern border with Mexico. Marjorie Taylor Greene charged President Biden with systematically trying to destroy America since the beginning of his presidency. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this issue. Please stay with us. American newspaper The Hill has covered this story and tells us more. U.S. Representatives Marjorie Taylor Greene, Republican of Georgia, announced plans to file articles of impeachment against President Joe Biden on Thursday, 18th of May, charging he has violated his oath of office in not securing the country's borders and protecting national security. Marjorie Taylor Greene said at a press conference this will be the first set of articles she introduces against Biden, whom she said has purposefully failed to fulfill his responsibilities of the presidency. Greene said, "It is with the highest amount of solemnity that I announce my intention to introduce articles of impeachment today on the head of this America's last executive branch. That has been working since 20th of January 2021 to systematically destroy this country, the President of the United States, Joseph Robinette Biden." Marjorie Taylor Greene made a similar announcement 2 days ago regarding her plans to introduce articles of impeachment against FBI Director Christopher Wray and Matthew Graves, the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia. Greene said she has also introduced articles of impeachment against Attorney General Merrick Garland and Secretary of Homeland Security Alejandro Mayorkas. The Biden White House called Marjorie Taylor Greene's plan a stunt, noting that President Biden is focused on preventing House Republicans' default that would crash the economy. Ian Sams, White House spokesman for Oversight and Investigation, said, "Is there a bigger example of a shameless sideshow political stunt than a trolling impeachment attack by one of the most extreme MAGA members in Congress over national security, while she actively demands to defund the FBI and even said she would have been armed and would have won the January 6th insurrection if only she had been in charge of it." The website Politico has also covered this story and tells us more. Marjorie Taylor Greene initially introduced articles of impeachment against President Biden on the first day of his presidency. She also filed articles against Attorney General Merrick Garland in August, following the search of former President Trump's Mar-a-Lago property for classified and sensitive documents taken there. Neither of those advanced in the House of Representatives. The Georgia Republican and ally of House Speaker Kevin McCarthy said President Biden has refused to enforce immigration laws and secure the southern border with Mexico, deliberately compromising U.S. national security. She said he has allowed migrants to invade the country while depriving border control agents of the resources and policies that they need to perform their duties. Marjorie Taylor Greene said President Biden has allowed fentanyl to flood into the country and kill Americans every day. She also slammed the administration over its plan to direct Customs and Border Protection, CBP, to release migrants into the U.S. without a set court date or way to track them. Under the plan, migrants need to check in with an app until they're given a court date to appear. Marjorie Taylor Greene said it amounts to catch and release, allowing the migrants to be released instead of being held in custody until their court appearance. She said his policies, directives, and statements surrounding the southern border have violated our laws and destroyed our country. Biden has blatantly violated his constitutional duty, and he's a direct threat to our national security. Article 2 of the Constitution states that the president and other U.S. officials can be removed from office through impeachment and conviction on treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Marjorie Taylor Greene said she wants to take time to gather co-sponsors on her impeachment resolutions. She avoided directly answering a question on what exact charges she would file against President Biden. She said she discussed her plans to file the impeachment articles with other members of the Republican leadership and said they did not ask her not to move forward. She said she is introducing the articles of impeachment because a majority, the base of Republican voters and other Americans outside it, agree with impeaching these officials, describing it as the right thing to do. The Secretary of Homeland Security, Alejandro Mayorkas, has faced intense criticism from many Republicans over the situation with the southern border with Mexico, which experienced a record number of migrants crossing into the United States in recent months. House Majority Whip Tom Emmer, Republican of Minnesota, called for Alejandro Mayorkas' impeachment recently. The British newspaper Daily Mail has also covered this story and tells us more. According to a recent survey, most U.S. voters say Joe Biden has likely committed high crimes and misdemeanors since becoming president that would justify the Democrat being impeached. The opinion poll comes as Marjorie Taylor Greene, a Republican congresswoman, introduced articles of impeachment against the president over the migrant crisis at the southern border with Mexico. Some 53% of survey respondents said they thought that President Biden had committed impeachable offences while in office, including 38% who called it very likely. According to a Rasmussen report, that's up 4 percentage points since last November. Rasmussen's top pollster, Mark Mitchell, said negative opinions about President Biden's scandals have definitely been gathering steam. The results were partisan. Republicans see presidential wrongdoing as more likely than do Democrats. U.S. House Republicans are investigating President Biden, his son Hunter Biden, and other family members, charging that they engaged in a cash-for-access bribery scheme with foreign nationals. Those allegations relate to Biden's time as vice president in the Barack Obama administration. Survey respondents were asked about wrongdoing since Biden was sworn into office more than 2 years ago. The pollsters did not specify which misconduct Biden was charged with, but the survey comes as Georgia firebrand Marjorie Taylor Greene introduced articles of impeachment against President Biden over the border crisis with Mexico. Taylor Greene charged the president with refusing to enforce the southern frontier and let 6 million undocumented migrants from 160 countries invade our country. Marjorie Taylor Greene added, Biden has failed to properly supply the guards working the frontier and of letting traffickers smuggle fentanyl and other deadly drugs into the United States. Immigration to the United States has for decades been a divisive issue between Republicans and Democrats, but bigger flows of undocumented migrants in recent years and the lapsing of pandemic-era border restrictions this month have raised tensions further. Also, Marjorie Taylor Greene charged FBI Director Christopher Wray and Attorney General Merrick Garland have turned the FBI and Justice Department into Biden's personal police force to prosecute the administration's political opponents. She said that those who participated in the 6th of January 2021 insurrection were mostly peaceful, but Attorney General Merrick Garland has still pursued them. A bipartisan Senate report found last year that 7 people died relating to the attack on the Capitol on that day. She said she is filing impeachment articles against Graves, the U.S. Attorney for the District of Columbia, over his prosecutions of 6th of January defendants, which she said have continued while he has declined to prosecute 67% of people arrested by Washington, D.C. police last year.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle.
Today's lesson, adornment. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In today's lesson, we will talk about adornment in the Islamic lifestyle. What we can see in the Islamic teachings is that adornment is being made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah loves adornment, and that's why He put this in every single human being, that they love to adorn themselves, they love to groom themselves, they love the titivation. Why? Because they want to look good. They want to be someone who looks good. And even, you know, when we see a mirror, we just go in front of that. And this is in our nature that we start adorning ourselves. We start, making ourselves right. If our hairs are blurry or maybe it needs combing, we start combing our hairs. And in any way, we see that we love to make ourselves right. We love to be prepared. We love to adorn ourselves. And whenever we are invited to some place, we don't just want to wake up and walk outside and go to the place where we were invited. Rather, we prepare, we put on new clothes or the good clothes, and then we adorn ourselves, and then we go. So it is something that has been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's in the human nature. Why? Because when Allah has adorned this universe with different things, the beauty of nature, the beauty of galaxies, the beauty of stars, the beauty of this world, when we see, we are amazed of that beauty. Similarly, for the human beings, they need to beautify themselves, inshallah. Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z from IRB English Radio. We were talking about the topic of adornment in the Islamic lifestyle. We said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has made this universe beautiful, and He has adorned this universe with the stars, with the planets on this earth. When we see there are different types of birds, animals, the beautiful birds with their beautiful voices, and there is the beauty of nature that we see in the deserts, in the mountain area, in the green area. So everywhere what we see is something that is beautiful. And it looks like someone has painted this world, this word and it's beautified this. So there was a special adornment, there was a special, we can say, a preparation of adorning this word in different ways. And it is in the nature. Why? Because God, who has created all of us, He loves this adornment. And being the human being, if we want to have an Islamic lifestyle, it is necessary to basically adorn ourselves. And that's why we see even in chapter A'raf, which is chapter number 7, verse 32, Allah says, قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ. Say that whoever forbids on him the beauties of Allah, the adornment and the beauties of Allah, الَّتِي خَرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ, that this one, why is he making things forbidden for himself, which Allah has beautified for his servants from the tayyibat, from the purified things, from the rizq, from the sustenance that Allah has provided to him. Why there are some people who are forbidding these things for themselves?
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parstoday.ir.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir.
English Radio, a window to peace of mind and spirituality. You can tune in to RIB English Radio 24 hours a day. We are with you. Are you with us? Are you with us? Are you with us? This is our voice from the heart of the Islamic Republic of Iran, RIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
A bill introduced in the U.S. Senate this week would ban American schools from using controversial discipline techniques, including forcibly restraining children and using so-called scream rooms. We take a look at the U.S. media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The national broadcaster CBS News has covered this story and tells us more. A bill introduced in the U.S. Senate this week would ban schools from using controversial discipline techniques, including forcibly restraining children and using scream rooms, which critics say are tantamount to abuse of children. The Keeping All Students Safe Act, introduced by Connecticut Senator Chris Murphy, targets all schools receiving federal funding in the United States. Each state would need to submit a written plan for managing situations requiring severe discipline. The move comes after widespread criticism and pressure to end the practices, which Senator Murphy called barbaric. This is a hidden epidemic in this country, Senator Chris Murphy said. Kids in schools that are acting out are often being sent into solitary confinement, shoved into what some schools call scream rooms, as punishment, where they're told to sit inside an isolated room, sometimes with padded walls, to correct their misbehaviors. Other children are being restrained, being tied down after they act out. None of this helps these kids. This isn't the first time that Senator Murphy has tried to end restraint and seclusion. He's introduced the Keeping All Students Safe Act multiple times over the last decade, though each previous attempt has failed. Senator Chris Murphy said he's hopeful things will be different this time. My hope is that Republicans want parents to have a bigger role in schools. We'll take a look at this legislation and see it as something they would support, Senator Murphy said. Senator Chris Murphy may have reason to be hopeful some districts have moved to review the use of restraint and seclusion, or even ban it from all except the most extreme circumstances, in response to pressure from parents and activists. Even if it passes, the bill would not address the widespread arrest of elementary-aged children that CBS News reported last autumn. The report highlighted hundreds of arrests of young children in U.S. schools. CBS News analysis of data from the U.S. Department of Education's Office for Civil Rights revealed that more than 700 children were arrested in U.S. elementary schools during the 2017-2018 school year alone. Children with disabilities and black children were disproportionately affected. Last year, Senator Chris Murphy co-sponsored the Counseling Not Criminalization in Schools Act, designed to address those arrests with more counselors in schools. That bill also failed to pass the Senate. When asked if he plans to reintroduce that legislation, Senator Murphy said, "I haven't made a decision on that yet." New data on schools discipline from the Department of Education, which was delayed due to COVID-19 school closures, is expected to be released this summer. Senator Murphy said he's concerned the numbers won't be good. "I worry that the arrest data is not going to be any better because we have more police inside schools than ever before," Senator Murphy said. "Teachers are stressed out right now. And often what happens is that you've got a police officer in the school and it's tempting to outsource discipline to the police officer. And when you do that, instead of the kid ending up in the principal's office, the kid ends up in the back of a police car." The website jdsupra.com has also covered this story and tells us more. Lawmakers have introduced new bills in both houses of Congress seeking to end schools' use of dangerous disciplinary techniques, traditionally employed disproportionately against students with disabilities. The Keeping All Students Safe Act would ban the use of seclusion techniques in schools, referring to the practice of locking students in secluded spaces as a response to certain behaviors. The bill would also reduce the use of physical restraint techniques to counteract real and perceived behavioral outbursts. According to the U.S. Department of Education, some 122,000 students were subjected to restraint and seclusion techniques during the 2015-2016 school year. Of those, students with disabilities accounted for 71% of all restraint cases and 66% of all seclusion cases. Currently, no federal regulations exist concerning such techniques. In May of 2012, the Obama administration released the first federal guidance to schools regarding restraint and seclusion practices. The guidance urged that restraint and seclusion techniques be banned entirely for the purposes of disciplining students, and be employed only where there is an imminent danger of serious physical harm to self or to others. Furthermore, the guidance recommended banning the use of mechanical restraints in American schools, the use of any drugs or medications, not prescribed by students' medical professional, and the use of any restraint that restricts a child's breathing or harms the child. Schools were also encouraged to improve their parental notification procedures when such practices are used. The Keeping All Kids Safe Act comes as many disability rights advocates in the United States have raised concerns that the current Department of Education may rescind the Obama administration's guidance. It's barbaric for schools to confine students alone in locked rooms or to use abusive methods to restrain little children, said Senator Chris Murphy, a Democrat from Connecticut, a sponsor of the Senate bill. Treating school kids this way should not be tolerated in America, period, Senator Murphy said. In a letter sent to Congress on 12th of December 2018, the Leadership Conference for Civil and Human Rights, the nation's largest coalition of civil rights groups, listed the bill as one of its top priorities for the new Congress. A version of the Keeping All Kids Safe Act has been introduced each year since 2009. The House of Representatives passed a version in 2010, but that version stalled in the U.S. Senate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
Hame ba wujood qudde saratani Israel mukhalifin.
All of us are opposed to the cancer's tumor, Israel.
Wajh mushtarak hame wahdat ummat islami.
Unity of Islamic Ummah is the aspect that all of Islamic denominations have in common.
Ideal University Student brings change in thinking and reality of the society and world. The following is part of the speech delivered by the leader of the Islamic Revolution in a meeting with university students and representatives of student associations in the Imam Khomeini Hosseiniya on April 18th, 2023.
The Commander of the Faithful, peace be upon him, has said in Nahjul Balagha, "He who neglects the enemy will not be neglected by the enemy." This is letter 62. If you fall asleep in the trench, that does not mean that your enemy has fallen asleep as well. They might be well awake while you are sleeping. So the enemy exists, and we cannot deny this. The enemy's strategy is for us to become pessimistic about ourselves. Now, one of the brothers here talked about the issue of hope. It was a good talk, and I don't reject what was said, but I don't agree that despair is mainly due to internal sources. Yes, there are definitely problems inside. We know these problems, but these problems do not dishearten a motivated young student.
دنیای اسلام یک نسخه امروز دارد و اون اتحاد.
The world of Islam has one single prescription today, and that is unity. This prescription exists in all Islamic countries. Nations should be united.
A motivated young student becomes disappointed to other things, a professor or, for example, a person who feels no commitment to his or her country sits and talks with a young person privately. And of course, the same thing also happens in a different way and in a collective broader sense. With what hope are you studying here? Just quit and live. What hope do you have? They tell you who are young and resistant, What hope do you have with this high dollar price and this high inflation rate over the years? What do you have hope in for studying here? This is how despair comes in. This will have an effect. Of course, for a faithful, resistant, knowledgeable, intelligent young person, the response is clear and to the point. Yes, there are problems. I'm studying in my country because I intend to live in this country for decades. And my children, my grandchildren, my descendants, and my countrymen will live in this country for hundreds of years. I want to correct the problems. I study to solve the problems. I struggle to solve the problems. This is the young Muslim's response. But that one, the skeptic, does what he or she is doing and negatively affects people. He affects some people. Now, this is one example.
Allah, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done. You've done for me through all my years. I've been lost. You guided me from all the ways that were wrong. Indeed, you gave me hope.
Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
Eruba Shavit, Gaza.
Jerome Hughes, Brussels.
Saeed Pereza, London.
Rasha Saglam, Istanbul.
Saeed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahana Bhatt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with the reporters.
The right to go on strike, to withdraw one's labor over grievances with one's employer, potentially under threat in proposed legislation that gives the British government sweeping powers to clamp down on industrial action.
They say it's democratic when it's not democratic, so they're an affront to democracy with what they want on this bill. And it'll turn worker, they want to turn worker against worker, but it won't. It'll just cause confusion.
Mr. Speaker,
formally known as the Minimum Service Level Bill, voted on in Parliament Monday, the legislation enables the government to determine what a minimum level of service should be, with potential consequences for strikers and the unions that represent them.
Without the unions would face sequestration of their funds, which is obviously a serious, very serious step, and unions can't afford to go down that road. So it will effectively stop strike action in those parts of the economy, but it will also seek to scare people in other parts of the economy about what will happen to them should they take the decision to go on strike.
The freedom to form and join a union and to bargain collectively is one of the four international labour standards, standards which the UK government has signed up to.
The UK is part of the ILO and signed up to all of its conventions. So the right to strike is really a fundamental human right. It's something that we should protect and be very aware of any legislation that seeks to restrict that. And I think, you know, I think internationally people will be concerned that here in the UK we're seeking to restrict that right.
Among the sectors impacted by the legislation, health, education, transport and fire services, all of which have staged several rounds of industrial action over pay and working conditions over the past year, in the face of the UK's cost of living crisis.
Strikes became common during the Industrial Revolution. The UK has recognized the right to strike since at least 1906. And the protesters and union leaders here say they're not going to allow that right to be eroded or taken away. Saeed Pereza, London.
Spending
Specialists at the Republican Hospital in Donetsk have warned that the number of civilians who have been hospitalized is dramatically on the rise as Ukrainian armed forces are using more advanced NATO-supplied weapons. Almost 1,000 wounded